Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Mark W. Smith has a growing influence among conservative lawyers, especially since his New York Times best-selling book, the success of which he owes in part to Hillary Clinton for inspiration for the title, The Official Handbook of the Vast Right-Wing Conspiracy. His current book, Disrobed, borrows other ideas from liberals, especially legal tactics for winning in the courts. But one argument Mark Smith makes in passing is squarely conservative. On page 178, a criticism of law enforcement during the Columbine murders, Mark writes that police arrived on the scene quickly but delayed entering the school despite the fact that they knew gunmen were shooting their way through the building and victims were bleeding to death. Obviously, entry into the building would have been too dangerous for the cops. Wow, Mark W. Smith is hard-hitting throughout, but he will take many conservatives by surprise when he suggests that we adopt left-wing legal tactics, such as, I'll list three of them for you, moving beyond strict constitutional constructionism, such as adopting a litmus test for judges, and encouraging judicial activism. Well, I'd like to begin with Mark W. Smith talking about matters that we agree on. So, Mark, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you here. The book is Disrobed, The New Battle Plan to Break the Left's Stranglehold on the Courts. And, Mark, you're with the Conservative Federalist Society, right?
Oh, that's right. I am a card-carrying member of the vast right-wing conspiracy, as well as, of course, the Federalist Society.
That's right. And just to let you know, you've never been on this show. We've had Ann Coulter recently, Congressman Tom Tancredo just in the last week. But we are right-wing conservative Christians. We're pro-life. We support the right to bear arms and the whole right-wing deal right here on the air for 15 years. I'd like to start out asking you something you point out on page 140 of your book, if we could dig right in.
Okay.
That Samuel Alito ruled as a federal judge to keep legal partial birth abortion in New Jersey. And you say that he was following pro-abortion precedents like Roe v. Wade because they were the law of the land. But in fact, he could have ruled against abortion. Could you explain that?
Sure. What we have in America today, and let me make it clear, I want to advance conservative ideals. But I hate to say this, and I am breaking ranks with conservatives in the following way.
Right.
I think our approaches, our strategies when it comes to the courts, when it comes to lawsuits, have failed us. I think that what we have today is two sets of judges in America. We have liberals who are advancing the liberal agenda using the courts. Mm-hmm. We then have conservatives who are applying the rule of law. The problem is that the rule of law as it exists today, Bob, has been infected by literally decades of liberal judicial activism.
Right.
So when Sam Alito, when he was an appellate judge, basically upheld Roe v. Wade, he was in fact following the rule of law as it exists today, even though many of us, I think, disagree with that as the rule of law.
Right.
So what we have is we conservatives, at least too many conservatives, don't recognize that if we're ever going to win the war in the courts, we must actually go on the offense using the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And if we simply embrace things like judicial restraint, things like let's respect the text of the Constitution, it will do not only our movement, our agenda, a grave disservice, but the traditional American way of life and the ideals and values held dear by the founding fathers. So I ask for and argue for a totally new strategy that takes into account where the law exists today and deploys the types of things that work in the court, such as judicial activism, litmus tests for judges, and targeted lawsuits against, in this case, liberals.
Okay. Mark, it might surprise you to hear this, but for 15 years on the air here at this show, Bob and Yurt Live, we have advocated some of these exact same tactics, and we have criticized conservatives for becoming obsessed with practically worshiping a legal process that causes us to uphold left-wing principles over and over and over.
Well, that's wonderful, Bob, and I'm happy to hear that. There are not enough people like us out there, and what's surprising to me, and obviously no one is, I think that I'm about as conservative as they come. When I wrote Disrobed, I essentially approached it this way. As a practicing attorney giving advice to my metaphorical client, the conservative movement, this was my advice about how we actually fix it. Because we conservatives have been complaining about the courts for literally decades. But so what? It hasn't helped. The courts continue to move to the left. We now have the Supreme, it's not just the Supreme Court, although the Supreme Court is certainly problematic, as we saw a couple weeks ago, where they decide that, guess what, we, the United States government, have to enter into a treaty with Al-Qaeda in the form of the Geneva Convention. Mm. Even though Al-Qaeda is not a country, it's just a bunch of terrorists, we now have to comply with a treaty that was never intended to apply to groups like Al-Qaeda because five Supreme Court justices say so.
Al-Qaeda doesn't have soldiers in uniform abiding by the rules of warfare, so the Geneva Convention is irrelevant. But, Mark, maybe I overstated the case when I said we've been advocating some of these exact same tactics for 15 years on the air. We're doing it from a very different perspective than you have done in your book. And I mentioned on page 140, you say that Alito, when he ruled his pro-abortion rulings, and we've got a list of them, that he didn't have to follow pro-abortion precedent. He could have ruled against abortion. Could you explain how so? I agree with that, but how so? How is it that he could have? I think we agree that he should have, but why is it that he would have the authority to rule against abortion?
Well, the first thing for all of your listeners to understand, Bob, is that law is not math. Law is not science in the following way. It's not objective. It's a lot more subjective, and it's more subject to the whims and the feelings and the ideology and politics of the people that are involved than you would ever imagine. Law is, in fact, mostly politics, and I say that as a conservative. And the point is, if you are a political conservative, and I make this point in Disrobed, political conservatives who are lawyers, who are politically active, or who are judges, need to use the law, need to use their decisions as judges to advance the conservative agenda, which, by the way, is, I view, the American agenda, as opposed to the secular, godless, liberal European agenda, which has been going on for too long. And what Sam Alito easily could have done is simply advance his conservative agenda by saying that I'm not going to respect Roe v. Wade. It was wrongly decided at the time. It is not the rule of law because that decision was inconsistent with the Constitution and the Founding Fathers' vision of America, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, and Mark Smith.
And he could have simply just basically said that and would have had plenty of legal precedent to cite to. Because let me tell you, Bob, there's plenty of legal precedent going both ways on all cases.
Well, and Mark Smith, certainly liberal judges do that every day of the week.
Every day. We have gay marriage in America. How did we get gay marriage in America,
well,
in Massachusetts?
Some liberal courts have ruled and ignored the U.S. Supreme Court two or three times in one day, giving stays of execution for convicted murderers. And the U.S. Supreme Court says, we reject your argument, let the execution proceed, and they stop it again and over and over. And so, let me ask you this. So you point that out on page 140, and I agree, because a judge shouldn't kill an innocent person because some liberal judge said he should. But 10 pages earlier, you give your litmus test, pretty interesting and worth thinking through. And you have question number 10 there. You put out 20 questions that conservatives should ask prospective judges. And number 10 is basically this. Should abortion be decided by we the people or by 9 unelected judges. Now, I'd like to talk through that. Let's say Samuel Alito, well, he is on the U.S. Supreme Court now, and along with 7 of the 9 justices there are have been nominated by Republican presidents. Let's say that the people of California or the people of New York vote to kill unborn children. They say, we want it legal. Or let's say in 30 years, the people of America vote, the majority votes to have abortion legal. Then what should Samuel Alito do?
Well, you know, you raise a very interesting point, Bob, and I actually do discuss this. Part of the problem, and I'll get specifically back to the question on abortion in a second, but part of the problem is that what we have on the Supreme Court and what is considered acceptable by many is that you got guys like Justice Thomas and Antonin Scalia, who are conservatives. They believe that the question of abortion should be left to each individual state, so that the state of New York can have subsidized abortions if they want, and the state, you know, some state like South Dakota could ban abortions in all respects. And that's their approach to it. Now, I point out that if you ever want to make Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas's approach to the abortion question mainstream, moderate, or the middle, what you must do is you must move the ball to the right so that you have at least some judges in America, some respected judges in America, who are taking the position that abortion is unconstitutional if it's permitted in any respect. Because the point I like to make, Bob, is what would happen if the state of New Hampshire said that everybody who is now 65 years or older must be put to death because they're going to be a tax on society? Well, I think we could all agree that a court should strike down such a obligatory death penalty as being unconstitutional in violation of that, you know, right to life and liberty.
Well, here's how, and I agree, and here's how we say that no subdivision of government has the right to decriminalize do not murder. If any state or any county or city wanted to kill blacks or kill Jews or kill unborn babies, the federal government should not allow the killing of Jews, whether it's in Germany in the 20th century or in America in the 21st century. No government should allow a subdivision to decriminalize rape or kidnapping or murder. Those are enduring criminal code.
Exactly. And Bob, that's the point. That position must be articulated. It must become part and parcel of the modern legal debate. It's not. As a result, the position that Thomas and Scalia take is considered the extreme right, when in fact it is not. It is essentially sort of a moderate position of let every state decide the question. So the point I make in Disrobed is until you basically out-conservative or outright Thomas and Scalia, they will never be viewed as mainstream moderates. They will simply be viewed as the extreme right. And that's a problem. We need to redefine our terms, and the way we do that, Bob, I think, is we need to argue for things like conservative judicial activism on behalf of the ideals and the values that we hold dear. Unless we do that, then the sort of positions that are viewed as extreme conservatives or extremists will always continue to be extremist as opposed to what it really is, which is kind of moderate mainstream approach to the law.
All right. Now, Mark Smith, again, the author of Disrobe, the new battle plan to break the left's stranglehold on the courts. Mark, what you view as moving the ball to the right, it seems to me that you're trying to move the ball to the left toward humanism. And here's why. In your book, you make it clear that 5 judges should not decide on abortion or other matters of fundamental morality, sexual morality, murder, and so on, but that we, the people, should decide these issues. And that is even more of a humanist concept than empowered judges. Because, well, let me ask you this. Do you think the majority is good, wants to not steal, not fornicate, not lie, not kill the unborn, not consume pornography?
Not necessarily. And the point I make in Disrobed is exactly where you're going, Bob, which is we do not want a pure democracy. We never wanted a pure democracy. The Founding Fathers did not want 51% of the people to be able to vote themselves the property of the other 49%. What we want is a constitutional democracy where there are certain rights, and those rights, Bob, are the fundamental unalienable rights.
Yeah.
Endowed in each of us by the Creator, which is addressed in the Declaration of Independence.
And you mentioned that in that phrase a couple times in your book. But, Mark, then why would you say, and you make this point also through your book, that matters like abortion should be decided by we the people? Let me ask you, if the people of the state of New York, if they go through their process and they say abortion will be legal in New York, do you, Mark W. Smith, think that the federal government should uphold the legality of abortion in New York?
I think that the position should be that no. I think that any more.
Fabulous.
I think any more. To me, it's just a simple analogy.
Yeah.
I ask people, do you believe that a state law that allows the murder, the execution of people who happen to be over the age of 65, do you think a court should strike that down?
Right.
And I think there are very few people in America, conservative or liberals, who think that the Supreme Court or any court should say, hey, a law that allows for people to be executed at the age of 65 because, well, they're 65 is acceptable, or the execution of somebody who's mentally retarded.
Exactly, and here's why, because
right.
any such law is a violation
of the fundamental right to life.
Which is God's enduring command, do not murder. There is no government authorized to decriminalize do not murder.
That's right, Bob. But in this robe, what I talk about, though, is our strategies to get to that world. Because this is why I wrote the book Disrobed. I have been very frustrated. I've been dealing with political and legal issues for many years. And here's where I think conservatives come up totally short. When it comes to things like judicial activism in the courts, we are very short on solutions. We're very good at talking about the problem with today's courts, which
right.
doesn't respect property rights, they don't respect the life of the unborn, they basically respect things that are not rights, such as the right to same-sex sodomy,
right.
And they don't respect the right to own a gun and use it in defense of your family and self-defense, these sorts of things. But the question is, what do we do about it? And I think that
And what we've been doing about it has been a colossal failure.
Exactly.
So
what we have been complaining about the courts since at least the 1950s, when Dwight D. Eisenhower made the comment that his two mistakes as president are both sitting on the Supreme Court. But we have failed. Bob, well, we failed.
On page 133, in fact, you have a whole chapter titled Getting Judges to Evolve Rightward.
Correct.
I want to ask you, why do organizations, whether they're universities, hospitals, law schools, why do they tend to become liberal and adopt moral relativism? What is the force that causes that to happen everywhere?
Well, in this robe, I talk specifically about the courts because I think that's a very important thing. Because remember, it's true that a liberal university professor is not desirable. Don't get me wrong, they're not.
Right, right.
But the problem is that liberal judges are so much more dangerous. Why? Because a liberal university professor can, infect young minds.
Hundreds
That's no good.
Or a thousand or so
but
future judges.
A judge can literally change the law of the land. It can
right.
literally change the law of the state of Colorado or of a township with a single signing of a single document called an opinion. That is great power.
All right.
And that's the problem with liberal judges.
Yeah.
They're much more dangerous than liberal anything else. Not that liberals are good anywhere. They're not. But you get my point.
Mark, let me push a little deeper into the issue and try to see if you can realize where it is I'm disagreeing with you. When we started, you said law is not objective. It's more like whims and feelings. Law is mostly politics.
It's like reading Shakespeare.
But
we have different interpretations.
That is a humanist view of law. Law is, the fundamental criminal law, not only written on our conscience, but revealed in God's word, the Bible. And we're not a theocracy. And Jesus Christ is not ruling in the Oval Office. But do not murder, do not kidnap, do not steal. These are fundamental legal principles that not only were written on our hearts, but they're revealed in God's word in the Bible.
Sure.
And
these are fundamental natural rights.
Yeah. And here's where I think I think a lot of conservatives are going to be following this path you've laid out, but I think that's going to be bad because you're moving to this humanist place further to the left where law is mostly politics. Law is not absolute, but law is absolute. Do not murder. Do not kidnap. Do not steal. There should be no wiggle room. There should be no whims or feelings or politics. And when we have accepted that, it's one thing to adopt left-wing tactics, but we're beginning to adopt left-wing worldview and ideology.
No, I don't think that's right at all. What is fundamental and may not be altered are the ideals, the values, the rights that we talk about are fundamental. The right to life, the right to property, the right to liberty, the right to self-defense. These are fundamental values.
Absolutely
that may
right.
not be taken away by, among others, government, unless, of course, you violated what I call the law of nature. You've done something very bad yourself to the point where you're no longer entitled to the rights because you don't respect the rights of others.
Why do you call it the law of nature? Because in nature, one fish will eat another fish. Male dolphins virtually rape female dolphins. Why do we call it...
We can call it many different things, Bob. The reason why I call it the law of nature in this context, and to me,
well,
it all goes back to what the Creator endows in us.
Well, liberals calling it the law of nature because it gets away from any obligation of absolute right and wrong.
No, I don't think that's right because when I talk about the law of nature, I'm talking about it in the context of what John Locke of the Scottish Enlightenment wrote about the law of nature and the fundamental individual rights in the law of nature.
And
he was doing that at the founding generation. He was inspired by religion and things of this nature. So to me, Western civilization is akin to Judeo-Christian ethics, which is akin to John Locke's natural law. Now, they all use different language, but at the essence, it's all the same in the following way, Bob. There's a Creator who gives to each of us fundamental rights that humans may not take away from us unless we violate those rights in others. So there's different terms you can use, but to me it all comes down to that, which I think we're in agreement on what's to be protected. I think we may disagree with how we go about doing it.
Okay, well, let me ask you about the system of precedence. You point out correctly that liberals have 30 years of precedence.
Correct. And decades of them, yep.
Yeah, and if we're going to say judicial restraint, well, fine, then maybe we wouldn't get any new ones, but we got 30 years of them already.
Right.
And so you basically advocate we need some judicial activism and get conservative precedents established.
Correct. Think of it this way. It's almost as if you want to think of it from the perspective of a football game. The liberals, they've driven the ball down to our own 5-yard line. And we're backed up against our goal line thanks to their liberal judicial activism. Before we talk about judicial restraint and respecting the rule of law and these things, we conservatives had better toss judicial restraint and these things out the window immediately and go on the offense and get that ball pushed back to the 50-yard line. Until we do use conservative judicial activism to get the ball back where it never should have left, then I say we got to toss out the window all of our old strategies.
Okay. Now that's thinking outside of the box. And absolutely in agreement, a judge should ignore any judicial precedent that says kill the innocent, and he should say no. But here's, again, where I think it's accepting a humanist worldview. When you, as a lawyer and an author, when you support the whole concept of judicial precedence, that is that's where your attitude about law comes from, Mark, that you say it's mostly politics, because if you start out with 100 laws, you start a nation, and then every ruling by every superior judge across the land is a new precedent. That means it's like a new law, or it might have 5 or 10 laws within one ruling. Pretty soon you have thousands of laws, then you have hundreds of thousands, then you have millions of laws.
And that's what we have right now.
And that's what we have, and that's why even our conservative legal scholars and minds think the law is not objective, it's mostly politics, when we need to recognize that we don't have the authority to make moral law. We don't have that authority. And if we say in our books that the people should decide whether you can kill the innocent or not, we've bought into a humanist view of law. And so I'm trying to ask you to not only think outside of the box, but smash the box and recognize that any system that has fundamental moral law, like don't steal and don't murder, up to the whims of politicians, judges, or the majority, that is a humanist form of government.
Well, Bob, I don't see the area of debate, because here is what I talk about in Disrobe.
Do you support the idea of precedence? Do you think we should abide by precedence?
Here's what I support: the conservative agenda. I support limited government, the right to life, the right to property, so that a local politician cannot steal your property
Absolutely.
In the name of eminent domain
Absolutely.
And give it to a land developer. I support the right to be able to put up a Christmas tree, or to be able to put up a creche on a public park and not be freaked out about the possibility of the ACLU coming along and
of
suing
course.
You.
Right.
This is what I support. But the problem is, Bob, that I address in Disrobed is this is not our world. And we've been trying to create this world in which we live, but we have failed. So what do we do about it? And in Disrobed, I lay out a detailed battle plan where we ordinary conservatives can take back the law, and to have the law, to have the judges, to have lawsuits actually advance the American way of life, finally, as opposed to just advance the liberal way of life, which has been going on for too long, meaning literally decades.
And we're almost out of time. We're speaking with Mark W. Smith, author of Disrobed, The New Battle Plan to Break the Left Stranglehold on the Courts. And Mark, we only have one more minute, but I want to suggest, I'm going to ask you to think through the argument I just made about precedence. And when you support the idea of legal precedence, then you are advocating a humanist view of the law, which the law, it's always changing. In your book, you say communities should decide the moral issues and the issues of sexual morality.
I think that's not accurate, because I do not think that's where I part from conservatives. I don't think we the people should decide questions about property rights. I think that conservative judges should decide those questions. I think issues about abortion should be decided by conservative judges.
Okay, Mark,
I think issues about religion should be decided by conservative judges.
On page 102, you say the best way to resolve moral and social issues is by a community-to-community basis. Some communities want to legalize prostitution. Others legalize drugs, heroin. Others want to legalize suicide. Others killing unborn children or starving to death handicapped kids. So what I'm saying is I believe this is a humanist slant that you've taken into a humanist view of the law as infinitely malleable, whatever the people decide and communities decide.
I explain how we can use judges and lawsuits and judicial activism to advance the conservative agenda, including what I view fundamental American religious values.
All right.
I think that we do it in the real world, and I outline that in Disrobed.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Mark W.
Thanks,
Smith.
Bob.
Appreciate your time. That was a fascinating conversation with Mark Smith. This is Bob Enyart. You've been listening to Bob Enyart Live. Our website, KGOV.com. God bless you all.